Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus is Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord, glad to be with you as we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Today we're going to share with you on the subject of the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Here we see it speaks of Jesus redeeming us by going to the cross and becoming a curse for us. He paid the price for sin. He redeemed us. He paid the ransom price, which was his death. Remember, the wages of sin is death, and someone had to pay the price for the sin of mankind, and it was Jesus who did it as he went to the cross in order to accomplish the redemption. That means you and I are now a purchased possession. You and I have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. We are not our own, and we belong unto the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." You and I have redemption through the precious blood of Jesus that was shed, and we have the forgiveness of sins. We have been forgiven of all of our sins. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, it says it again, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." You know, he has forgiven us of our sins. In Hebrews 8, in verse 12, it says that our sins and iniquities he remembers no more. Now in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to bring salvation. And so he's come to bring that forth in our life. And in Acts 4:12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." As you call on the name of Jesus and receiving him as your personal Lord and Savior, you will be born again. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby you must be saved. You know, in Acts chapter 11, in verse 14, when Peter came to those at Cornelius's house, it said here, "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" He came and he preached the word of God. And the result was they received the word of God and they got saved. As we hear God's word on how we receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, and then we receive him as our Lord and Savior, confessing him as Lord of our life, believing in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, we are saved. You know, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The gospel is the good news, and it's the power of God that will produce salvation if you believe. Remember Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, what happens when we receive Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior? We undergo a new birth, a spiritual birth. In John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again," the word again means from above, "except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." In verse 5, he says, "Except a man be born of water," which speaks of physical birth, "and of the Spirit," which is spiritual birth, "he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Verse 6 confirms what this means when it says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Verse 7, he goes on to say, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." every person is born again when they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. They're born from above, and you get a brand new spirit on the inside of you. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now that we're born again, we are to receive the Holy Spirit, who is received subsequent to salvation. We see this clearly in Acts chapter 8, in verse 5, where Philip went down to the city of Samaria to preach Christ unto them. In verse 12, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. So they believed, and then they were baptized. Baptism follows having believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were born again. And then down in verse 14, when the apostles, which are at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, so they were born again, they said unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. We can see very clearly under Philip's ministry, Christ was preached to them. They believed and received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they got born again, and then they were baptized with water after that. Then later, a later time, the apostles from Jerusalem came to Samaria to pray for those who had not received the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they laid their hands on him, and they received the Holy Ghost. Over in Acts 19, verse 2, we see the same thing, where Paul found some disciples at Ephesus, and he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And they ended up receiving the Holy Spirit as Paul laid his hands upon them. In verse 6, the Holy Ghost came on them, they spake with tongues and prophesied. We see this further in Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, where it says, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. That shows the fact that you receive the Holy Spirit, which is of promise, and it's also the earnest of our inheritance. So the Holy Spirit is one of the promises, and that's for those who are born again, and it's part of our inheritance. Who gets the inheritance? First, you have to be a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is received subsequent to salvation once we've been born again. We also see this in Luke 11:13, where it says in the second part of the verse, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Here we see it's the heavenly Father giving the Holy Spirit to one who asks him. Who's doing the asking? Someone who has a relationship to God as his heavenly Father already. That means he's a born-again child of God. So as a born-again child of God, you ask your heavenly Father to give you the Holy Spirit, and as you receive the Holy Spirit, he comes to dwell on the inside of you. So everybody has to undergo a spiritual birth, getting born again, and then you receive the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell in your spirit. This is the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ, but that wasn't all. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, he says this, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I are now priests before God. We are a holy priest and a royal priesthood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 5, it says we're a holy priesthood. And then in verse 9, a royal priesthood. And we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. In John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In verse 36, he says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The purpose of Jesus' coming is to bring everlasting life unto us. Another thing that we see is over in Jeremiah 31:31, where Jeremiah prophesied of a new covenant that was going to come into being. He said, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant which I'll make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Well, Jesus brought forth a New Testament. In fact, when he was at the Last Supper in Matthew chapter 26, he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, the new covenant that was coming into being." And we see over in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6, "Now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he's the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." Verse 7 goes on to say, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I'll make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." As he was quoting from Jeremiah chapter 31. Then down in verse 13, he says this, "In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." In Hebrews 8:10, he says, "This is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." Over in Hebrews 10:16, we see it similar but a little bit different. "This is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." So he takes his word, which is his laws, and writes them in our heart and in our mind. And we see over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, "You and I are the epistle of Christ, ministered not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, who takes the word, not writing it in tables of stone, but now he writes it in the tables of our heart." You and I have come into a new covenant, a better covenant with better promises. In Exodus 19 and verse 5, he said, "If you'll obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation." And we see the fact that you and I have become that. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." Well, we're out of time for today. We're going to continue on this important subject of the purpose of the coming of Jesus Christ in the next broadcast. Hope that you'll continue to listen to all of these broadcasts. In closing, are you looking for a New Testament church? We teach and preach the uncompromised Word of God with in-depth teaching, bringing forth scripture after scripture on subject after subject. I also minister healing and deliverance to all who have a need. I minister continual deliverance and healing, doing whatever it takes until a person is set free. I've seen the Lord heal cancer, heart problems, diabetes, blindness, deafness, dumbness, seizures, eliminate tumors, and bring forth healing from all kinds of sickness and disease. We've seen believers delivered from mental problems such as schizophrenia, depression, panic attacks, and breaking inherited generational curses. I invite you to visit Jesus is Lord Outreach Center. Our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. The church is located at 2955 West Fairmount Avenue, just west of I-17 and Indian School. For more information, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.